Give me warp in the factor of
5, 6, 7, 8.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discussing Trek. We are back to talk about some Lower Decks today. How you doing, Cal?
You know what? After missing last week, I can say I am excited to be back. I'm always happy to be here, but I'm excited to be here tonight.
And let's go ahead and get into our review of In the Cradle of Exelon. Bormler leads his first away mission on an alien megastructure.
If anyone has not seen this episode, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle station.
What gives you the right?
You cannot destroy an idea.
At ease before you
spray. No, that could spoil
the milk. The spoiler warning has been dropped, and we are back to review this episode. Like always, we go to Mr. Jones for the beats of the episode, sometimes serious, sometimes comedic. Honestly, you never know. Mr. Jones, do you have anything for us this week, sir?
You know, before I give it, I want to say that this was a little bit poetic in a sense.
Really?
And let me tell you why. Because I watched this evening right before, and I'm thinking, iOS 17 is out today. And the question is always, should you upgrade the day it comes out? Should you not?
Should you wait a few thousand years before you upgrade?
There you go. But here are my beats. Just because you want to upgrade doesn't mean you should upgrade. But if you do, please make sure you make a backup.
So this episode was written by Ben Walker and directed by Brandon Williams. And I will start first with my high-level opinion of this episode. You know, I keep saying that I feel like the episodes are better when they go in their own direction. This was an interesting take on the sentient robot Overlord, basically. And I feel like they did a good job with that. Sprinkling a little of Windows or computer, PC, Mac, whatever you want to call it, in there. And we had some growth for Bormler in this episode as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also, we got to see the rest of the former Lower Deckers. I guess it's the Lower Deckers. We got to see them having their own little fun on the ship as well. So overall, I feel like it was a well-rounded episode with a lot going on. What are your high-level thoughts of the episode, Mr. Jones?
High-level thoughts, and I'm going to add in something that I would have said last week going into, you know, the first of the season. But I really think the crossover with Strange New Worlds really reshaped how I see this show, because I am now in my mind not seeing the cartoons. I'm trying to see them as I saw them on Strange New Worlds. Mm. And it makes my enjoyment of this show so freaking much better. That being said, I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. I laughed at some of the things because it was kind of literally, again, I had just downloaded iOS 17, started watching this, and I'm like, poetic. Yes, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, those service packs can put you back a bit, so you better watch it there. But we got a few comments here. We have Charles Kelso from the Earth Station Trek podcast, which you guys should definitely check out. Those guys over there are freaking awesome. He has a comment here. Don't update without an engineering officer present. Yeah, that kind of rang true in this episode as Captain Freeman tried to do everything. And also Marge has a comment saying, this computer has no interest in world domination. Which, that was a great spin on it. So we finally had a sentient computer that wasn't there just to be the ruling overlord and have subjects do his every whim. He was there to accommodate everybody there. We're going to get into that. So we start the episode by the Cerritos visiting this Federation world, this Corazonia artificial megastructure, which reminded me a lot. I've talked about this a lot lately, but Halo, this is basically a Halo. And I know that in the Halo game, there's a whole sequence where you try to go within the depths of the Halo to do something to the computer. It's been a while since I played it, guys. But you do something to the computer that actually blows up the Halo, I believe. But this was very similar in some ways, and definitely from the visuals, it looked very much like the Halo megastructure there. Have you played Halo, Kyle?
I've never played Halo, but I do like Wynn Grace's comment about Ransom as an art critic. You know, when they do get on the planet, the first thing I'm thinking is art is in the eye of the beholder. And I keep seeing, you know, these art exhibits that looks like trash or something, and somebody goes and pays $1 million for it. because yeah. both sides of the road look the same.
Yeah, true. That's you know, true.
So,
yeah, that was pretty funny. And, you know, I think one of my favorite moments of the episode is when Ransom picked up one of these big computer discs and just looked at them kind of like, you know. Yeah, it did have these discs that looked very much like an old school floppy.
Yep.
That I got a good little laugh out of. So that was kind of cool. So, Kyle, Vexilon has started having problems. One of my earlier jobs was actually working with you in tech support. So I want to ask you, sir, what is almost always the number one solution when you're trying to fix somebody's computer? What is the go-to option you have when fixing somebody's computer? Help me out here, sir.
Reboot your computer. Reboot, take two aspirin, and call me in the morning.
Oh, man. Yeah, that hit home for me. That hit home for me. I got a good chuckle out of that. Again, you know, when you know a little bit about stuff, you tend to dive in maybe more than you should. Get in over your head. And that's kind of what Captain Freeman did here before she got help from Billups.
So I have a question for you. Let's assume for a moment that you were in control of that mission and you were in the captain's position. Would you have done what she did, considering your background?
I took ancient computer or whatever. I think I probably would have. I probably would have because, you know, it seems like a simple problem. With most computer things, it seems like it's on the surface. It seems like it's a simple problem. But very soon you can get yourself in over your head. And that's what happened to her. And,
you know, I don't think this ever happened on one of our Discussing Trek, Discussing Who, Discussing Network sites. But I know it had happened or it has happened on some of the sites that I have had in the past. And I can picture myself doing an upgrade of something, not backing up, reaching out to Clarence and saying, help, help, my site's gone.
It happens. So I guess I appreciated that portion of the episode just for, you know, kind of giving that old planet-wide Star Trek spin. And it's funny, you mentioned the people with the art. At first, the people kind of reminded me a little bit of the, except they weren't overweight and, you know, kind of riding around on hover machines. But it reminded me of Wally a little bit, you know, because they're getting, I guess they're just getting their weather needs taken care of and not every need. So maybe they are a little, you know, a little more in the trenches than the Wally people were. But I still liked seeing that in this episode. I thought it was pretty fun.
Now, just for the sake of a little bit of pushback, let me ask a question. Was this sentient computer an overlord, but a benevolent overlord? And the only reason I say that is you control the weather.
Yeah, that's godlike abilities, right?
Right. So, you know, without the malevolence, without the I'm going to, you know, rule over you. Was it not still ruling over them by controlling the weather?
Not in that aspect. No, I think not. I mean, I really enjoyed this as a spin on, you know, it seems like in a lot of these Lower Deck episodes, we get the computer that's going crazy or that's ruling badly or something's wrong with the computer. We've seen several episodes where the computer gets hauled off to that room in Starfleet headquarters. So in this case, I love that it wasn't a computer that was actually trying to purposely kill everybody. Now, because his system was going bad and he hasn't had an upgrade in a few thousand years, it kind of started to go wrong a little bit, but it wasn't intentional. And I just love the spin on seeing the different weather aspects and how it went back to, you know, the Stone Ages, even before that, maybe, when it rebooted and it was pretty much, you know, hellfire everywhere. So I thought that was pretty funny.
You know, in the chat, Marge has brought up something that I never even thought of, which is it was called a caretaker. This is a little caretakerish. I like that. I didn't even think that, but it's different because the caretaker was not a computer, but same premise a bit.
Yeah, a bit of the same premise. I think the only difference here is for me is that this computer guy didn't actually, it seemed like all it did was the weather. It didn't mention of it, you know, providing them food, but I guess the weather indirectly provides food and stuff. So I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. And just to have this whole artificial structure, I thought was a good spin that fits well in Star Trek, even though, you know, like I mentioned before, it's kind of ripped off other stuff that in other sci-fi properties. But I felt like it worked really well here. I wouldn't mind seeing more of it, actually. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yep, I did too. I mean, I think it did the entire thing of, because, you know, you see a lot of stories about a ship lands, there's something that terraforms the planet, and then that's it. There's no more anything, you know, after the terraforming. But this entity stay, or this computer terraform, and then help maintain. Yep, that was cool.
And I'll just mention real quick before we move on. If you live long enough and mess with enough computers, you will have jiggled some components and hope things work. I've done it. So it's a thing that happens more than you think. Let's get into Boimler as a leader on the away mission. Does Boimler grow up in this episode, or is this kind of the Boimler we always kind of expected him to be?
Because, you know, one of my complaints, especially season one, season two, was there was no character development. I think maybe they've listened to the fans and listened to some of the critiques. I'm seeing character development. But I really, really liked how he tried to do everything himself. And as someone who doesn't like delegating things, I feel his pain.
Yeah.
But it got to the point to where he had no choice but to trust people and delegate. So the fact that I can sit here and say he had no choice but to trust means, I think, yes, there was character development. What do you think?
Oh, man, 100%. Definitely, I love the, and Tasha mentioned this in her stream after the snap, you should check it out. But she mentioned about how Talyn actually grounds Boimler. And I think that's, and she said this too, and I 100% believe it. I believe this is what's kind of been missing from Lower Decks for me. She's the straight character. She's the one, even though she's goofy in her own way, she's the one with the unwavering logic that can pull them a little bit back from the deep end. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what she does for Boimler in this episode is profound. She kind of sets him on the right path, even though her logic of what's going on about the percentage of first away mission Lieutenant Junior Grays that die, you know, in instances that die on away missions. She gives all these numbers and it's really kind of a little funny, you know, a little quirky, but still it's enough rooted in logic that I feel like that she really makes Boimler a better character.
Totally, totally agree. I think she's a breath of fresh air. And I really like the fact that you're not depending on antics between Mariner and Boimler every single episode. You're allowing them both to go out, do different things, and grow as their own characters. When they do bring them back together, then I think I'll think it's cool because they're back together again. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, so to speak.
Yeah, and definitely an episode that really showed, and we mentioned it up top, but Boimler growing, I feel like I almost got that little thing we get when we see and we get to the end of an episode and we feel like the character has grown or we've learned something in the episode. I think Boimler got a profound message in this episode about being a leader. And I just thought that was fantastic. Picking up a few comments here, Marge says Talyn was a great addition. I totally agree. Marge is also saying it's a nice, sensible character, which I hugely believe. When Grace is saying that, huge Talyn fan thus far. I am too. I think she makes the show much, much better. It makes it a little bit more Trekky to me. And that's kind of weird to say because we have so many Trekky references. But again, just that little bit of grounding, I think is fabulous. And Charles says the same thing. Talyn is great. She is a fantastic addition to the show.
And while indeed, we're talking her, the voice actor who voice acts that role, I think is doing an outstanding job because she, to me, has, just listening to her, she has the Vulcan cadence down even better, I think, than Ethan Peck does. I mean, she's right out of Leonard Nimoy, some of the tones and the mannerisms of the voice of how it sounds. Awesome.
Yeah, she very much reminded me of Jolene Blaylock to Paul in her performance. And maybe just, I hate to say it just because it's a lady Vulcan, but I don't think that's it at all. I think she just the way she delivers it. And again, T'Pol is kind of that same thing to the Enterprise crew, but more from a standpoint of we're going to go out here and you don't know what you're getting yourself into point of view. But I love it to Talyn so far. A great addition. Boimler dies. That might be the shock of the episode. Boimler makes the ultimate sacrifice for the planet, for his crew and for his team as well. And he dies in the process.
For a second there, I thought, please don't tell me this entire episode was a game, you know, that he had gotten locked in the game that they were talking about. That's what I thought for a second. And I'm so glad that that wasn't the case. But I did think that for a second.
Yeah, the koala thing is a great mystery. You should definitely go and watch Wingrace's video where he does something. And I forgot what was said in the actual video. But if you play what the koala said in reverse, it says something. And I don't know if Wingrace is pulling our leg or that was what really happened in the video. But he played it in reverse and it had a message. Wingrace, were you pulling my leg on your video? Was that a real thing if you played it in reverse? Let us know in the chat there, Wingrace. But yeah, the koala was interesting. And I think we've seen it before a few seasons back when somebody else died. But I have to go back and watch that episode because I can't quite remember. Let's get into the happenings of the ship, Rutherford, Mariner, and Tendi. They explore the anomaly storage room, which I think, why would you even have that on a ship? It makes no sense. Let's have the most dangerous things tucked away in a corner because we never visit a starbase. Because I thought they usually drop that stuff off at starbases, but this is Lower Decks. We have some interesting items there. Kyle, what do you think about the anomaly storage room?
I thought that was a good callback, you know, show some visual effects. There was one, honestly, you know, I have to throw in a Doctor Who reference. So since you just mentioned something in reverse, there was a trailer hint of Doctor Who. There's going to be a new trailer on September the 23rd as of this recording. Mm. But there was the thing that was the Betazoid face that was in the gray piece of whatever. You know, there's a, this is in the 2006 series of Doctor Who. I'm not sure the name of the title at the moment, but one of the characters gets turned into a face on a piece of concrete. So,
oh yeah, that was one of the most hated/most loved episodes. So how come I can't remember the name? If you remember, drop it in the chat. But yeah, the Betazoid gift box, that's Next Generation thing, can be seen on episode Haven, which is originally played by Armin Shimerman, Quark himself. Honestly, I don't even remember the box. I don't know how I could not remember it, but I do not remember it from TNG.
Wingrace says Love and Monsters. That was the name of the title.
Love and Monsters. Okay, we got a Whovian in the house. Wingrace says Love and Monsters, and you are correct, sir. Thank you, sir, for that. But yeah, we also have the Catan probe, which is from the, or a version of a Catan probe, which is from the episode Inner Light, where Picard lives his whole life. And they kind of allude to that a little bit in this episode when the Betazoid gift box gets zapped for a minute. He says, I had a wife or something to that extent. Interesting. But I think for all of these things, what really, really, what I liked the most was the Wadi Kula game, which is the Move Along Home reference. I remember kind of not liking that episode, if I'm being honest, but for some reason here, just seeing it brought back for laughs, I think it worked. So I enjoyed all those references. What do you think about the whole notion of hazing in Star Trek? Hazing the Lieutenant Junior grades as they get new assignments.
So I'm going to be, you know, the traditional fuddy-dud here. I hate the concept of hazing. I think it's stupid. I think it serves no purpose. That's just me personally. I'm a fuddy-dud. I don't like to have fun, I guess, but I just don't like it. I don't like someone having fun at someone else's expense. And that's just me.
Yes, that was wrong. But also as far as hazing assignments, you know, clean the floor with your toothbrush, or this was pretty bad as they go. Mm-hmm. Scan all these chips in the room. We have a secret second layer behind there that you have to scan. They get hot. There's gas in this room that could kill you. So I thought all that was pretty interesting. But, you know, the haze becomes the hazer in a sense when they try to throw all this stuff in. What was the name? Dirk, Lieutenant Dirk's room. I thought all that was pretty fun and interesting. And, you know, for a C story in the episode that had a lot going on, I feel like it was an okay C story that didn't really go off the rails too much. Now, did they do that thing of throwing too many references in of other series into this show that didn't really make a lot of sense, but were still cool? Yeah, they did the thing again. They did the thing Lower Decks does. But still, I think overall, I think it kind of worked.
But, you know, if I can sit there and watch this sea story and actually get some character insight, I kind of like it because I learned that, you know, at least from my point of view, that, you know, Rutherford hates the ferret thing.
Yeah.
You know, he hates that. Then you had Tindy with all these opinions about, from, you know, how the Orions do this and how the Orions do that. So I thought character insight on both of them. And Mariner, I liked Mariner in this episode.
Yes, she was good in this episode too. It was something about them being so gullible, which I think most people that get hazed are pretty gullible. And she thinks there's no way Starfleet would be doing this. People, officers in Starfleet that would be doing this. And she's wrong. It happened. And I thought it was, I actually thought it was real up until the end when you see them in the mm-hmm. 10 forward and they're kind of talking about, you know, what actually happened.
So let me ask you this question. Would you have rather we assumed like they did and then not have that ending? Or would you rather it be like it was and it be revealed to actually be a hazing?
Yeah, it's Lower Decks. You gotta try to make it a little bit funny. I think that was their attempt to make it, you know, a little bit funny. But still, again, I think as far as a Star Trek episode providing me that beginning and end and that fuzzy feeling, I think it accomplished that. When Grace is saying that, I initially thought the hazing was iffy. Then I realized Riker would 100% done this to Roller and laughs. Yeah, maybe. I could see it happening. Riker is a bit of a jokester sometimes. And Marge mentions that Tindy steps up as a gunslinger as she was scanning all of those chips. Yes, something about Tindy with guns I really love. Can we get more of that? Because that's pretty fantastic. Yeah, so guys, what do you think of this episode? How would you rate this from 1 to 5? Please drop that in the chat as we give our own ratings and wrap up this episode. Kyle, is there anything in this episode that I failed to mention? Is there anything I failed to mention that you would like to bring up?
Well, no, but since we're talking about omnipotent AI overlords, you know, I've got to go through, you know, for the low-hanging fruit for me and say there is one overlord AI that I approve of. And that would have to be Olivia. Olivia from Oz9. So there you go.
Indeed. Where would people find out about Olivia from Oz9 and her shenanigans? Where would they go to actually find that out?
Oz-OZ. Well, it's oz-9.com. And that can be found on oz9.com or any of the podcast players.
Definitely check out the Oz9 podcast. Oh, let me mention this real quick. When they rebooted the computer and it went back to its former self, you know, the fresh start, that reminded me a lot of the Relatively podcast. No spoilers, but oh man, it made me kind of sad. But
yes, I know exactly what you mean. And yes, dang you, Mr. Shackelford.
How would you rate this episode, sir?
I don't want to say perfect, but I want to say that I really enjoyed it with a 4.5.
Oh, wow. Wow, you are really up the ante, sir.
I really enjoyed it. Yes, 4.5.
I'm going to go with about a 4.2. I mean, I get your 4.5. I definitely could. I could easily go to 4.5 on this one, but I kind of landed at 4.2. Really enjoyed it, but I'm just leaving a little bit of room because I want them to. If it keeps getting better from here, I think I'm going to be a happy camper by the end of the season. Marge in the chat says she gives us a 4 out of 5 isolinear chips. So we might need to start doing that. That's something we do on Discussing Who, is we give each of our ratings an object.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give it 4.5 omnipotent AIs out of 5.
Oh, good. I'm going to give it 4.2 koala bears out of 5. And Wingray says he'll go ahead with a 4 as well. Guys, what do you think of this episode? You can not only send in your rating, but you can send in thoughts about this episode or comments into feedback@discussingtrek.com or hit us up at Discussing Trek on any and all social medias. We're going to wrap this thing up. Kyle, is there anything else you want to leave us with before we get out of here?
As always, love enjoying, because I've gotten so used to seeing people in the chat. This is so cool. So for everyone in the chat, you guys are awesome. Love seeing you guys in the chat.
Yeah, as well. Thank you all for joining. It's a lot of fun. And whenever you could be here, it makes the conversation that much more interesting. Real quick, we got a 4.5 from our friend Charles Kelso as well. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. It's been fun. And until next time, live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.